This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Older running backs are alive for 2024. We got Drake May and the biggest target and avoid rookies with Stephen Chalmers of Dynasty Football Factory, the Delaware Dynasty Boys podcast. Excited to talk to Stephen here because older running backs, I feel like I've changed quite a bit. I used to be such an ageist, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And now I just see these juicy values every year. So Stephen, start us off just talking about some of these older running backs that whether you're playing redraft, whether you're playing dynasty, it's amazing some of these team builds you can have, some of these lineups that you can fill in with older starting running backs here because everyone's generally ignoring them.
Yes. So I want to be honest with you. I think the running back landscape is an absolute mess. I just want to start that off. So when you're looking at your set it and forget it, your premier running backs that you want to own, especially in dynasty football, I think the list of elite guys is shortening, like the window is short. Yeah, at most, give me five. At most, give me five running backs. And then once I get past that, once I get to the Devon Achane, Saquon Barkley, James Cook tier, I'm looking to fade that position, and then I'm looking to add my veterans. You mentioned some good names, Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, James Conner, and there's a couple more veterans that I really like and value, Najee Harris, David Montgomery, we can always find more, Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon. Those are a couple other names that stand out to me. So when I attacked the running back position, I'm looking to have a staple at QB wide receiver first, and then I'd like to add my running backs to my roster because these guys are such forgotten about players that their value is insane. Every draft you go into, it's insane. Redraft, Derrick Henry is going at pick 44. He's a fourth round player. And in Dynasty, he's an 11th round pick in Dynasty drafts. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, one of the things I like to think about when you get to like round 7, 8, 9, you know, especially once you get past, let's say, first round rookies, you know, they're already gone. It really is a year to year game. I mean, you might think that you're buying something for the long term, but I always ask this question. I think Travis Kelce kind of applies as well. He's fallen to such a point where you say, if I get 1 year of what we've typically gotten, you know, over the last 3, 4, 5 years, profile building for these productive veterans, what is that worth? Because most of these players around them, you're taking a pot shot that someday you might squint and they get part of the role that you're kind of thinking. As much as I don't like Joe Mixon in terms of like thinking he's a great player, he's going to have a big role on a big offense. And he's been doing that in Cincinnati for years. He's going to go over there and do that in Houston. And it's going to be hard for him not to finish in the top 12 to 15 of the position. It just is. So I just, if you get one of those years, that's going to be more. And everyone likes to take the dart throw of saying like, oh, it's like, is it the Family Guy thing where they go, oh, this is a mystery box. Yeah. It's like, but it also could be a boat or whatever.
Yeah,
it is. But they're offering you a boat and you're taking the thing that could also be a boat, but yeah, it also could be a donkey or a piece of hay. So it's like, yeah, all those older guys. I mean, you can start with Alvin Kamara and build your depth chart, and you waited, and yet you can build 2-3 guys and be as good as anybody in the league almost.
Yeah. So I like what they use Alvin Kamara because the value typically falls there. Derrick Henry is still priced in the top 18 running backs, which is fair to say.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry is one of the greatest running backs that we've ever got to watch in this time frame. Last year with Alvin Kamara, if you pay attention to his rushing metrics, they were really bad. They're really, really bad. But Alvin Kamara as a whole running back, who was averaging down a stretch at a time over 18 fantasy points per game, that was strictly receiving-based, sprinkled in with a little bit of rushing upside. And he's going at running back 27 in dynasty startups, with Kendre going at running back 29, relatively close, and I like that. But you're telling me that you're getting Alvin Kamara as the 27th running back off the board in dynasty startups. Aaron Jones, a running back who we watched last year, go for 5 straight 100-yard games to end the season. Dallas, the Dallas playoff game was impressive. The San Fran game, that was a volume-based game, but he got 100 yards rushing against San Fran. Aaron Jones at 29 years old is also showing us that he still has the juice and is still playing well in the league. I can never wrap my head around the fact that these guys are so mispriced and so mismanaged.
Yeah, it really, like, I think one thing for Dynasty at large is they assume that this is going to be their last year, either A, in the NFL, B, like, I think they get beat into the head of just older running back. Oh my gosh, the catastrophic, the whole building's going to fall down. And the good players generally stay good, you know, and the decline is a lot smoother than people expect, you know, that if you're running back one now, and generally you start slipping and with full playing time to running back two status for a couple of years, it's probably not coming back. So that's one thing, but it still doesn't mean you've been removed from a fantasy starter, that you could still be someone. Like, if Derrick Henry doesn't have a top five season, it doesn't mean he's out of the league. He's probably still going to be in the league. So it still takes time, and this whole graphic, like 29, 30 year old running back retiring in the offseason, probably isn't happening. The NFL retires you. They're going to try to collect the money. So it doesn't happen that extremely. The one guy I wanted to ask you about, and he's actually, I think, the youngest guy that you mentioned, and one that I constantly feel like I'm relatively alone in terms of supporting him at all, is Najee Harris. And this, everyone sits there, and this is like Zeke and Tony Pollard, it feels like, where everyone says Jaylen Warren's the better player. Why are they giving Najee Harris any touches? And basically, they want to retire him out of, like, it just hurts their soul that he's getting touches in that offense or at all in the NFL. Talk about Najee Harris this year, just in general with his profile. He's going to be a free agent. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option. But you know what? Josh Jacobs didn't pick up the fifth-year option. What do you kind of see with Najee Harris so far and then kind of going forward?
So I think Najee is one of those running backs that's a little misunderstood. I kind of compare him to the Joe Mixon aspect as well, a guy who's a volume king, but doesn't look pretty when it comes to the efficiency side of the game. But I also hate when people don't see the big picture when it comes to Najee. You can't have an offensive line who's 28th in the league in run block success rate for a three-year stretch, 29th or worse. The first year of Najee's term with Big Ben, relevant, he had 75 catches. That's huge relevancy in that aspect. But again, we were 28th in the league in run block success rate. And that trend continued in a negative fashion for the 3 years of his career. I really like what the Steelers did this offseason. Really hit the offensive line hard in the draft. Got rid of Matt Canada. And people forget, they talk about Arthur Smith, but how good of a offensive coordinator Arthur Smith was in his Tennessee days as well. I think this plays a big effect. We didn't pick up Najee's fifth-year option. That's unfortunate. Doesn't mean he can't get paid with the Steelers after a good year. I think Najee has another top 12, top 15 season. Najee's a volume guy. He can handle the volume. I've watched his workouts in the offseason, and I'll be honest with you, I don't really buy into the best shape of my life aspect that they portray sometimes as NFL players. But Najee looks good, really good. He was playing at 240 last year, which I thought was way too big. This year, coming in at 225. I'm excited for Najee, very excited. I love his overall three-down skill set. I always have out of Alabama. I think he's an interesting running back, and I believe he's going at running back 26 in Dynasty startups, which is cheap as well for a three-straight-year 1,000-yard player, 7 rushing touchdowns or more.
Yeah, and for a guy that's not overly old, he's going right around the same spot in Dynasty as well. And you say first-round pedigree, a guy that he's going to get work, you know, even if it's more of a you know, somewhere in that 50 to 40 to 60 kind of range of a committee there this year, which it probably will be. You know, again, Jaylen Warren's a good running back, but first round pedigree carries, and he's going to get more work next year. So I just, he's one that, he's a sneaky 26. You know, you don't love that in terms of like the overall timetable, but with his price point, he's already down at the point we talked about at the beginning of the show. He's already at the point of saying, you know, if I get 2-3 years out of this running back viability, that's kind of what I'm expecting. And frankly, not many guys you expect more than that at the position. I wanted to ask, you know, you put out your top dynasty running backs there on the X, and you kind of mentioned there might be five guys. Can you draw, and I always think tier lines are pretty instructive versus like 1 through 50, because someone can go, oh, number 27, I can't believe you. And you're like, well, that's tier three. I have giant tiers, or that's tier seven, you know, because I have really small tiers. Can you draw a couple tier lines for us, just kind of outlining, you know, maybe where that top tier ends for you, and if there's one other kind of instructive point where you think it falls off?
Yeah. So my top four running backs are the elite of the elite. These are the guys I want to have at the position, and those being Bijan, Breece Hall, Jahmyr Gibbs, CMC. Congratulations, CMC, as well. 27-year-old running back, just got paid. Congratulations. You are a cheat code in fantasy football. Congratulations.
Well, can I, on that cheat code thing, so is he the exception to the exception of, like, are you going to keep betting on him in terms of, I don't care what age you are, this could be Latanian Tomlinson, of guys that go into their 30s. And I remember Tomlinson with the Jets, right? He was like 32, caught like 50-something. He was still like a top 20-ish running back at 32. Is he going to be, because every equation, he's going to break it in terms of just being a Marshall Faulkian or Tomlinson type player. So it sounds like he's going to be the one that you're always going to kind of back, and there's not going to be a lot of like age curve stuff that kind of supports like, oh, he should be top five, because there's no one to take his spot, right? Is that the main thing?
I'll be honest with you. There's not many running backs in the game with a McCaffrey skill set. McCaffrey is one of one for me. Ever since he came in the league out of Stanford, that 2017 draft class was so cool. They were awesome running back draft class, by the way.
Hey, remember when people faded him after year one?
Yeah, it was crazy. That's
he averaged like 3.5 a carry or something.
Right, but he also had what, like 75 catches his rookie season. But yeah, McCaffrey's my cheat code. He's one of those guys that just he sets himself apart from the other running backs. I mean, we're talking about multiple 20 fantasy point per game seasons. You know, we've seen the 1,000 and 1,000. He's just done it all. He's one of those guys. And then the tiers, it gets weird for me, because this is a guy that I'm actually fading at pick five. I'm just so curious to see how he plays with Anthony Richardson. But Jonathan Taylor comes in at five for me. And I feel like I should have ETN at five instead of Jonathan Taylor. But I remember the 2,100 total yards scrimmage and the 18 touchdown year. And I've seen Jonathan Taylor at his peak. And I believe that at his peak, he is better than ETN. But what I saw from ETN last year was also really good. So I wonder, should I flip flop? But then it gets really murky for me. And you got Taylor, you got ETN, you have Devon Achane, who jumped up the dynasty rankings. And rightfully so. He was phenomenal last year in limited opportunity. And then it gets murkier. It really does. It gets so murky. After the top 10, there's not many running backs I'm thrilled to own. I had Kyren at 11.
Yeah.
And I have some question marks with Kyren Williams, just due to the fact that how can a running back at his size – how can a running back at his size manage a 20 touch per game outlook with that kind of efficiency? That's the question mark for me with Kyren. Blake Corum now comes into the situation. What will his role be? And a lot of people, I use that to talk about the Charbonnet and the Tank Bigsby role from last year. It didn't happen. Nothing happened with those two running backs. And I wouldn't be surprised if Kyren gives us another top 10 fantasy season. But there's question marks with him. There's question marks with Rashad White and his inefficiencies from his rushing metrics. And there's a lot of question marks with the running back landscape. And I'll be honest with you, after the top four, I'm actually looking to fade the position.
I'm pretty excited about Jonathan Taylor. You kind of mentioned him and the possibility, because we really didn't see, I don't know, I can't remember. I was going back and I don't know how much we didn't see any with Anthony Richardson, right?
Zero games.
Zero snaps. Yeah. And the other part is, you remember, you know, if you're a fan of Jonathan Taylor, those days when Nyheim Hines was there and you're like, Nyheim Hines is a fine, you know, like if he's going to do one thing, it's going to be the space role, it's going to be the receiving stuff. And I would look up at the end of the game and Taylor would have like 70% snap share. And I just always had this feeling of like, he was barely on the field. Like, I want more. It was always like, I want more Jonathan Taylor. Always. Yeah. It's like Jim Gaffigan. And so I'm such a glutton for Taylor should be an unequivocal workhorse like he was at Wisconsin. And I think this is the year. When you look at Evan Hall coming back from an injury, you've got Trey Sermon right now running as the two. How can Taylor not have his biggest workhorse year yet? And then you put Richardson there, fingers crossed on their health combined. And like you're saying, I mean, I could see it. I could totally see him being right there near, adjacent to running back one this year, you know, in some capacity. Because the receiving game is probably the one thing you would have the biggest question mark about, but at least there's no overt pass catcher there to pair him with. So,
yeah, that's why I kind of I tend to go Taylor 5 instead of ETN. Because as an overall body of work last year, I think ETN deserves to be running back 5. But I just remember how special Taylor is. And I do want to see him with Anthony Richardson before I make this decision, because I believe that pairing could be special.
Yeah, and special, you know, going back one more thing on McCaffrey. I mean, he went to the perfect offense, you know, so that's another thing of saying. And now you said he has the allegiance to continue the continuity of being with the 49ers and that ecosystem. It's just going to, I mean, it's such a perfect, we rarely get in fantasy the perfect combination, and we actually got it.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Talk about Drake May. So one of the rookies I noticed in some of your commentary here of this year's class. Talk about Drake May. Again, obviously, it's a situation where I don't think a lot of people expect him to start week one, but that's not why you draft rookie quarterbacks. It's for the long haul. It's for the profile. It's for the development there. Certainly, New England has nowhere to go from except for up in terms of their offense and what we came from last year.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I think out of the four major QBs that we're talking about this year, being Caleb, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, and Drake May, I believe Drake May has the worst hand dealt to him from the start. It's really bad over in New England. Really, really bad. But what I see from an overall talent perspective, I always like to go back to 2022. As a redshirt freshman, finishing 10th in Heisman voting out of North Carolina, I saw a lot of things on tape that just stood apart for me. So, I love the arm. He has some of the best arm strength that I've ever seen. He can absolutely deliver a ball on a dime, whether it be through a clean pocket, off balance, off script. It's beautiful to watch. I talk about with Caleb Williams, his touch on the football, but Drake May offers the same skill set. So the only difference that separated the two for me, Caleb Williams' Heisman season. That was a phenomenal season. It's one of the best QB seasons we've seen in quite some time. But Drake May, Drake May with the ability, escapability, I don't think he can make a play like Caleb Williams can in the pocket. Caleb Williams' escapability and elusiveness is absolutely insane. But Drake May has sneaky upside as well with his athleticism. I mean, remember, he ran for over 800 rushing yards in college, 600 in his 2022 redshirt freshman season. Phenomenal season. So Drake May just stands apart. And I remember when we were scouting Jaden Daniels at Arizona State, we were talking about a third, fourth round player. Then we go to the SEC. LSU is a perfect situation. It was beautiful, beautiful situation. I mean, you got to play with Kayshon. You got to play with Malik Nabers. You got to play with Brian Thomas Jr. You got to play with the top five offensive line in the SEC. Things just look so great. The perfect situation, the perfect scenario. And Drake May has always been my QB2 for that reason. Drake May came out in his college tape and just played well from the jump. And I had to really sit down and evaluate Jaden Daniels for a 5-year stretch. And that was what was tough for me. Because yeah, I can't look past the Arizona State time.
Yeah, when you stack up situations around them, Drake May certainly had the worst. The cumulative over his career, and I would say in terms of his worst situation, he had the worst best situation of all those. The fact that DeVontez Walker, who was a day three wide receiver, was the notable, oh no, he's not playing, you know, and I never really bought that he was going to be a top 50 pick or any of that stuff. But Josh Downs, you know, was a notable loss. And we're seeing Josh Downs is going to be, you know, an okay player in the NFL, but nothing that kind of moves the needle. And the fact that Drake May is already walking into New England saying, this is great. This is much better than I've ever had. And all we do is lament how bad it is comparative within the NFL. But he's saying, hey, you know, frankly, the team did so much to help him. Jalen Polk in the second round. Again, you can debate the player, but that's the next best pick they had. They drafted a quarterback. The next pick, let's draft a wide receiver. Fourth round, draft a wide receiver. If Kendrick Bourne is back, that's better than anything he had in college. And they got Hunter Henry. They drafted Jaheim Bell, who's one of my favorites. Like, they did some things, and they've got a chance to build around him, and it's going to get better next year. But if he can just show some signs this year, I think that's the main thing. The answer might be Drake May, but who are some of your biggest target avoid rookies considering their cost this year? If Drake May is your QB2, I'm imagining that's one of the subset that you would mention.
Yeah. So my biggest avoid, and this, I'm going to stay in the division because my biggest avoid at cost is Keon Coleman. I'll be honest with you. There's nothing about the profile that stands out to me. Nothing. I've never been a fan of Keon Coleman, and this isn't a guy that I'd like to bash because
the GPS tracking of the gauntlet drill? Is it going to push you over the edge?
Yeah. So when we talk about Keon Coleman, man, I question, is he the next N'Keal Harry? That name will forever stick with me.
And future tight end superstar that people are picking up right now?
Yeah, superstar tight end. Yeah. But I've never seen someone with the body strength of Keon Coleman mixed with the contested catch radius, the hands, all those things look great, right? But to not be able to create consistent separation against guys, against DBs who, A, will some play in the NFL, but some of these guys are going to be doctors, lawyers, dentists, whatever they choose to be in life. You know, they got a scholarship to play football. They're just not NFL caliber. Cool. I just can't get behind the lack of separation from Keon Coleman. Living in the contested catch radius and those range of outcomes, those scenarios sometimes don't play out well. I've seen it with Josh Doctson. I've seen it with N'Keal Harry. I've seen it with a lot of guys. And it just doesn't pan out. Yes, he goes into a perfect situation, I think, with Josh Allen. But sometimes those situations don't play out how we want them to. I think the game has changed a lot. I think you need an elite separator. I'm not worried about size of wide receivers anymore. I think you need a guy that can separate from the line of scrimmage through all three levels of the field, and Keon Coleman can't do that.
Size is really overrated. You know, that's also one thing I used to get really sucked in my heyday was give me the big guy, give me the athletic guy, and it's like, oh, you didn't produce in college? You'll fix it. You'll get better in the NFL when it ratchets up 12 levels. You'll be fine. Yes. You'll be fine. I love this guy. You know, that's day three, round three, all this kind of stuff. And I will say, you know, the Bills passed on him. You know, I do think this is important kind of storyboard stuff that they sat there in a range that we all typically expected. Hey, Keon Coleman could go here. And the Bills said, let's try to squeeze out like 2 cents of profit by trading down a little bit. They traded down a couple times, and they even said, well, we don't even really think you're a first round pick. We're not really worried about that. And they weren't even worried if a couple teams drafted Keon Coleman, apparently, because they were looking at wide receiver. So either you had the best knowledge on the planet, or you said, it's okay. And I kind of liken this to Will Levis last year. Tennessee passed in a range you always see quarterbacks go. They go, and then they take him in the second round, and everyone's like, they must love Will Levis. No, there's no way. There's no way. So anyway, they go, you want Xavier Worthy? Go ahead, take him. You want Xavier Leggett? Yeah. Go ahead, take him. And then it's like, I guess we'll take Keon Coleman. It'll be a little cheaper, you know. So all this stuff, I can't get past the yards per route run. Honestly, like he has the lowest. Like if you were to go in round one, this was going to be a class of just complete chaos of things we've never seen with these lack of production profiles. And the fact that he didn't get it still has that concern. And he's round two. I think everyone's just elevating him based on the landing spot, and that is one of the dangerous games. At you know, it's not like we're saying Keon Coleman costs like 208. He costs a first-round pick a lot of times. People are boosting him up over first-round wide receivers, over top 10 drafted quarterbacks and super flex. Like, it is really dangerous, I think.
Yes, it is. And that's what scares me about it, man. It's so dangerous because you invest this draft capital, and you may think that the 110, 109 to 22 range in that range, wherever he's going in that realm, you may think that's not significant capital. But if you're using a first round pick on this guy and you can break it down from this aspect in this scenario, like me and you were talking now, and there's an avoidance.
Well, you need an auto start
pick.
Well, here's the thing. I know if I go in the trade market, if you trade a first round rookie pick, you better be getting an auto start player, a guy you don't really think about. Let me just put him in. And I know this because you could trade a second round pick for Mike Evans and you can do that with him. So you sit there with that pick. And so if you're burning that pick on a guy that, I mean, what is considered a success this year for Keon Coleman? Let's be fair. Like one of those Gabe Davis seasons, would that be a massive success for him? And Gabe Davis, like what, wide receiver 30 to 45? I think that would be a huge success for Keon Coleman. And yet that's a marginal outcome on the fantasy wide receiver landscape.
Right. That's and I think people... Dangerous. I think people have this like false sense of reality for Keon Coleman that the offense is going to strictly run through him. 100% right. False. 100% false.
More, it's more likely to run through Dalton Kincaid as a Kelsey-like player, right?
Yes.
It's more likely that we see James Cook get 10 to 15 more catches. All these things are in play more so than Keon Coleman. He's going to have some nice contested, like you said, the contested plays are the thing I didn't hit on. I mean, that is highly concerning. When you say, oh, yeah, because you know what? NFL corners, they're better in contested situations than college. So each one of those is going to get diabolically harder and more difficult.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. People also forget that Curtis Samuel is now a player here that we have to talk about. A guy who's usually really good out of the slot. We've seen top 15 seasons out of Curtis Samuel multiple times in his career. I know it wasn't a collective all-around career for that we've been looking for Curtis Samuel, but Curtis Samuel has produced at a level that is startable in fantasy football. People forget he's there. Khalil Shakir should be able to transition to that next phase now that Stephon Diggs is gone, and I'm just not seeing it. You know what I mean?
I wonder if this is Sky. Remember when Sky Moore got drafted for the Chiefs, and it was kind of in the what's going to happen after Tyreek Hill? There's got to be the answer. And there never was the answer. It turned into the tight end plus everybody else, you know, playing the pips kind of role. And I wonder if it's going to be a lot more, you know, amalgam of targets, and people want to force feed. Like there was an alpha and now there's going to be an alpha. There might be three or four wide receivers that are all between, like you said, Curtis Samuel might be wide receiver 40. And then you get a couple other guys that are in the top 75. And I know people don't want to hear that because we say stud quarterback and stud outcomes at wide receiver, but I really do think that's within the range of outcomes and maybe the most likely scenario.
Yes, yes.
Stephen Chalmers, where can we find you? What are some of the good work you've been putting in this off season, and what can we look forward in the future you got in the pipeline?
So you can find our work, mine and my podcast partner, Ryan. We work for Yards Per Fantasy, and we do consistent content over there. Working on a series right now, just with finding gems at each position, players that are undervalued there. So we were finishing that up for them, and then we just finished up a series for Dynasty Football Factory. So with the Dynasty Football Factory, we just finished up Veterans Win Championships. We had talked about this a lot, that veterans are just guys that are mismanaged and mispriced, whether it be redraft or dynasty. And then we will be starting a series later on about our sell list for positions QB through tight end, and just guys that we're looking to avoid in certain areas and looking to gain max value out of them. So you can find that all at Dynasty Football Factory or Yards Per Fantasy.
Love it. Steven Chalmers coming on, sharing his time and talents here on Under the Helmet. I am Chad Parsons. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those dynasties.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.